Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
Bum, 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 bum.
It is Tuesdays with Aaron, the Aaron Rodgers Show. And I got to be honest, I don't know where to start. I don't know if I should start at the fact that you're a couple minutes late because you were getting treatment and find out if we should be worried about you or ask you what's going on the mustache.
Go ahead.
Well, let's,
it's your show.
It's your show. Let's start with the mustache. Movember, no shave Movember, was over. What's going on?
My shaver ran out of juice right when I got to the mustache. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And how long before you'll have enough juice to get rid of that mustache?
Probably by the time I get home.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good look, though.
Yeah, I'm not really one to wear a mustache in a media gathering, which I have tomorrow. So, I'm sure, it'll probably be gone by then.
We've talked about your facial hair before on this show. You usually do it during training camp. Is that going to always be a tradition, or as you become a more recognizable figure, are you going to always have to be, you know, clean-shaven and all that kind of good stuff?
Always according to whose rules?
Well, you make the rules, but I know that, you know, sponsors and...
No, it's going to continue.
Okay.
Definitely going to continue. I'm a little disappointed. We didn't really have a great theme this year for the Welcome Back Luncheon. As I've talked about before, the cowboy theme from last year was 100% non-related to a Dallas Super Bowl. It was just...
Wait a minute. McCarthy made it sound like they were
connected. Okay, I know. We've already talked about this. There's absolutely zero connection. But this year... You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, you got to do something for Indy. And again, I said, there's no connection as it was last year. We're not going to do something in a connection to where the Super Bowl site is. But we just didn't come up with a good enough idea to do something there. But next year, I can promise you that if you get a ticket to that Welcome Back Luncheon, you'll be excited to see some of the outfits.
You've got ideas already.
Yes. And then we'll have a normal off season, so we'll have a lot of time and hours to think about what we're going to do for training camp.
Well, I know Donald Driver is at Goodwill today in some sort of promotional thing. Maybe he can pick up a few outfits for next year's Welcome Back.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin is hopefully, as we speak, has already dropped off a lot of stuff either over there or over at the Salvation Army. Went through my closets the last couple of weeks and
really?
Emptying it out, yep.
Anything that was really hard to part with?
Anything that's real hard to part with, I kind of put in a special box downstairs and just won't part with it. Any special things that may in the future be used for some sort of dress-up costume party, anything having to do with some sort of costume, I'm going to keep. I still have some, like a shirt from the Insight Bowl 2003 that's just, it's difficult to part with. So I'm going to hold on to that a little longer. I think those are the things that, as I look at my dad's, you know, his career in football and playing college and semi-pro, it's probably some of the stuff that my mom, you know, 10 years down the line is like, hey, what's this?
Right.
You know, let's throw this away. You know, and dad's like, no, that's my shirt from sophomore year, Chico State versus Davis, 21-16. I need that. I had 5 pancake blocks.
So what didn't make the cut? If I race right over here, cut the show short, head over to the Salvation Army or Goodwill, and be there right after everything that Kevin's bringing over makes it onto the sales floor, what might I pick up?
4 nice suits.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd fit me.
No. They, I have to admit, I worked on my body in the off season, and a lot of them don't fit me anymore. So I feel good about that. Although the winter helps you put a couple back on, as obviously you know. But... you're welcome for that. That was a softball.
Not just the winter.
No, there's a couple shirts, maybe designer shirts that are just too small for me. A couple buddies who started some different clothing chains that either they're not connected with anymore or just the shirts don't fit me are probably in there. Shoes will be in there. Anybody wear a size 14, there's definitely some size 14s in there.
Okay.
More to come.
You just came back from a very fashionable place in New York. Did you do anything? Did you go into the city?
Went out to dinner in What was the place called? I shouldn't even mention the name because they... No.
Uh-oh. Someone was not happy with their service.
No. The service was excellent. The food was excellent. But there were about 40 people somehow outside the restaurant who knew I was in there. And a little bit annoying. And it was kind of funny because at the end of dinner, they go, hey, there's a special little way out. We're going to take you. Oh, awesome. That sounds good. And I'm with a couple college buddies. And, I mean, they don't really care. They just want to make sure I'm feeling comfortable without these crazy people banging on the window or trying to have dinner. But so it turns out we start to walk up. We go, yeah, we'll take you out the back. And then sure enough, we walk out, I think, with the manager, the owner guy, just right out the front door. I think he mentioned to one of my friends, yeah, I could use a little publicity or something. But
So that's what it was in, like Summit, one of the small towns.
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7 minutes away.
Okay.
So it was really good.
But that's all you did? You didn't go into town to see the Book of Mormon or anything?
No, I would have liked to. That would have been fun to do something like that. But 2007, we had a few guys who went in the city and were late getting back to the hotel. So,
really?
Yeah.
The big news in Packerland today is the big stock sale. Did you buy your stock yet so you can be your own owner?
Player owner? No, I haven't yet. But I think it's a pretty cool idea. So I'm hopefully going to be able to grab some of that up.
Take care of all your Christmas shopping.
All gone. Yeah, exactly.
There were a number of storylines to come out of Sunday's win over the Giants, the 38-35 last-second victory, or last 58 seconds victory. But one of the things that kind of came out beforehand was Jermichael Finley talked to Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette, talked about the chemistry between you and him and saying that it wasn't there, that the eye-to-eye connection wasn't there. You targeted him 11 times. He had 6 catches. He also had 2 or 3 drops, depending upon your grading scale, and a touchdown. I'm assuming those two are clearly not related, but what were your thoughts maybe on what he had to say, and are you guys in need of working on your chemistry?
No, we're not. You know, I don't know that he, I would expect he's not always behind exactly what he's saying. You know, I don't know if he really thinks about the way that some of his stuff is going to be taken in the context it's framed in, or potentially thinking about how sometimes things are taken out of context. Now, I think there's no chemistry problem. I don't think he's questioning the way I'm playing quarterback. He knows I'm going to throw it to the open guy, and different games, different guys are going to get more targets than others, depending on how the defense is playing, who they want to put on our guys. And, when the Giants decided to put, to play some man coverage and put a linebacker on him, it's a good matchup for us.
Right.
So he's going to get the ball more often, going to get more targets in a game where they're going to put a safety on him who's a good cover guy or a good cover corner. You're going to get less targets. Or if the matchup dictates going to another place in the field, then that's what's going to happen. So there's no chemistry problem between J. Mike and I. Obviously, I'm going to throw it to the open guy, and if he's getting open a lot, he's going to get the ball.
Last thing on that topic. Do you, when something happens in the quote-unquote media, do you have to go to kind of straighten that out? Does he come to you knowing that that might be taken the way it could have been taken?
No, I mean, there was no conversation this week between him and I. I don't think one was necessary. He obviously... he's a big-time player. He wants the ball. You can appreciate that. That's why I don't think you can take everything he says too seriously or too literally. But he knows how I play, and the guys know how I play, and I'm going to go through my progressions and look for those good matchups. And he had a good matchup Sunday night, and that's why the ball was coming his way a lot.
You are a generally happy fellow, unless you feel like you didn't play particularly well, as you did a couple weeks ago. But you looked really happy after the game. Fox caught you a few times after Crosby made the kick. How much did you enjoy that game? Because there aren't many times where you get put in that position to put it together in the closing moments.
To look happy? I thought you were going to say. No, there aren't many opportunities for you to look happy.
I think you are usually happy with... I thought that was rare when you were kind of ticked off at yourself at the way you played in that victory you had a couple weeks ago. So,
Why don't you mention that again? Yeah, you know, it was a fun game for us. Go through adversity like that to put up 31 offensive points against a good defense, and you know, to have a really character drive there. Our last two drives were both character drives. You kind of call them those because we moved the ball late in the fourth quarter there, and Driver made a good third reaction to get open and made a nice catch. Then to watch them on the sidelines feeling helpless as they go down the field and score, and you're hoping after the clock goes under 120, they have one timeout, you know, stop them on the two-point conversion, get the onside kick, kneel the ball three times, we win. Well, then they throw a touchdown, and they get the two-point conversion, 58 seconds left. So I'm thinking on the sideline, all right, Randall, let's run this out past the 30, and let's get a chance to go with this game-winning field goal. Then he takes a knee. So my first reaction was, okay, does that mean we're going to maybe play for overtime or see how the first couple plays go? Which has probably kind of helped my mental mindset because didn't put any extra pressure on the situation. Just went out there. He called the play.
Now, wait a minute. Are you going to get into the whole drive here because you're stealing the entire inside the helmet?
No, I wasn't. I was just going to stop right there. I said I was going to say he called the play, and we started going. You go.
Well, the reason why I ask is you haven't had many of those opportunities. Now, last year, you know, there was a lot made of your record in games decided by 4 points or fewer. Did you realize that the Giants tying the score there was the first time since the NFC Championship game that you guys have even been tied with a team in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, we played pretty good in the first three quarters.
Well, I guess that was going to be my question. Is somebody used – I don't want to steal this as my own because – I wasn't creative enough to think of it. But somebody said Aaron Rodgers has a lot of game-winning drives. They just all happen in the third quarter. Do you view it that way?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, explain maybe the why those drives are so important, especially the ones coming out of halftime. You got another touchdown coming out of there.
Yeah, I mean, those are when you can double up like that. We almost went, you know, he scored into the second quarter, we got the ball back. We missed a field goal. We had a chance to get 17 points there
right in
the last, I believe, maybe 3 minutes of the first half and beginning of the second half. Those are really important points and often overlooked in the final outcome. It's kind of like an old basketball coach used to tell me that the stat that he likes to look at is the first 4 minutes of the third quarter because often the plus-minus in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the third quarter is a determining factor for who wins the game. Very similar to the end of the first half and beginning of the second half. And that's why I enjoy deferring, because you have the opportunity to almost double up on a team. Score before the half, score after the half. It's a demoralizing swing there of points. You know, I just feel like, as you're obviously aware of the different criticisms there may be, and there are always going to be criticisms, but well, if you play good for the first three quarters and you're ahead by enough, then you're not going to have those game-winning drives in the fourth quarter that you can put those notches on your belt or whatever.
You have six now, according to Stats LLC, which I believe is fourth quarter to win, to either take the lead or break a tie. So
yippee!
You don't feel the need to get more of those. You would much rather spend your time in the victory formation.
Yep.
What about when you win a game like that and the immediate talk in New York, because it's the media capital of the world, turns to the undefeated stuff? How did you kind of handle that, and how are you handling it now over the final 4 weeks personally?
Well, you know, like I said after the game, I think it's a progression. We want to make a playoff. Get to the playoffs, obviously, win a division. You know, then you're talking about locking down a first-round bye and potentially home field throughout the playoffs. And it looks like, I mean, the number could be 14 or 15 wins for that. So if we get to that point and we've locked down the number one seed, home field throughout the playoffs, and we're still undefeated, then we'll probably have one game left. And then, sure, yeah, we can talk about 16-0 then.
So the next step would be the first-round bye, which you can clinch – with a victory or with a tie and New Orleans losing or tying, or with the Saints losing.
Right.
But you can't clinch home field throughout the playoffs this week, no matter if you win or not.
Right.
there's the discussion that goes on, though, about rest, which I don't think it's rest so much as playing it safe for the last couple of games,
mm-hmm.
Versus going for it when you have an undefeated record. You certainly were around in 2007 when the Patriots did it. Mike McCarthy basically said after the game that he has his plan for what he wants to do. He just wouldn't tell us what it was. Do you know what the plan is?
I don't know what the plan is. I don't. I don't have any insight into what that plan might be. But
what about in terms of your own personality? Would you rather see pedal to the metal, or when you have nothing left to play for, is it smarter to minimize the risk and not put your key players out there, subject them to potential injury?
I think that if you have a chance to make history, that and also at the same time keep out division foes from the playoffs, like Chicago tried to do last year with us, then I think you have to play to win the games, as Herm Edwards so eloquently said.
And Chicago had nothing to play for in that game, right, other than to keep you out, and they certainly played hard.
Yes.
A couple of interesting items on the news front. First of them that certainly pertains to you. Reports out of Pittsburgh say Tom Clements has sent his resume to Penn State to apply for the head coaching job of the Nittany Lions there. Obviously, you're a well-read guy. You know about the news and the way things have played out at Penn State. We've talked about Tom before. If he were to get that opportunity, you know, not only how do you think he would do for it, but how would he handle going into a situation like that?
That'd be a difficult situation, I think. If you look at the landscape of college football as it unfolds here in the next month or so with the bowl season finishing up, there for sure is going to be some openings. I'm not convinced that's going to be at the top of many people's lists of places to go. It's a difficult situation, obviously. You're going to have to make some changes. But I can tell you what, Tom Clements is a man of integrity, discipline, hard work. He sticks to his guns. He's a moral man. He's an incredible coach, great teacher, understands the game, has played the game at a high level in CFL for 13 years, has almost 40,000 yards passing, is won the Grey Cup a couple of times. I mean, his record as a player speaks for itself. More than he ever will, which
great
says a lot about the kind
player,
of guy
too.
He is. Yeah, great college player, won a national championship. He has the pedigree, and he understands how to relate to guys. So I have a great relationship with him. Would hate to see him go, but I've really enjoyed my time with Tom and consider him a very close friend, but also someone who I don't ever want to let down on game day. So we have a great great relationship as friends, but also as player to coach. So I think if anybody could go in that situation and handle it with dignity and class, it would be Tom Clements.
Last thing before we go to our one break here on the Aaron Rodgers Show, Tuesdays with Aaron. The Heisman Trophy is on the verge of being chosen. I know Charles gets to vote because he's a former mm-hmm. Heisman winner. If you were allowed to vote, who would you vote for? And where were you in 2004 in the Heisman discussion? Were you getting any love at all?
I think I was ninth.
Ninth?
Yes. Somebody's told me that. I don't even know if that's true or not. But after we played SC, I was kind of in the conversation, supposedly.
Because Leinart won, right, that year? Was it, it was 04, right?
Didn't Leinart win the next year? Or did Leinart win that year and Bush won the next year? I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
I'll look into that.
I figured when I saw the five going, which is it's Luck, Griffin, Richardson, Honey Badger, and Moneyball. Yeah, Honey Badger, awesome. I figured that Luck would get it. Then I read something this morning that Griffin is I guess the odds-on favorite based on a 13-person straw poll that has predicted the winner the last 4 years. I think, just based on stats, the most deserving is, and you'll be surprised, maybe I'm a little homer, but Moneyball.
Really?
38 touchdowns.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
That's incredible. And as well as Russell Wilson has played, I think he's has a chance to break the all-time passer rating record for college, potentially. And he's played excellent. 38 touchdowns. That's incredible.
Did you get to see any of that game? Were you back from dinner in time?
I did. That was awesome.
What do you think of Russell Wilson? You're a quarterback. You were, now, obviously, you were a first-round pick. He's, you know, I talked to a couple of scouts about him over the weekend who said he's...
Unnamed scouts?
Unnamed, yes. Who were saying he was more of a fifth-round guy. But at the beginning of the season, people were saying he was too small to play in the league, period.
Well, I'd be surprised if he was a fifth-round pick. I think he has a lot better talent. I think when you go to... When he goes to the combine and has his workout in Wisconsin or wherever he decides to do it, I think he's going to impress people. Just watching him on the field, he has incredible movement in the pocket, subtle movement. He's a good runner, but he's a pass-first guy outside the pocket as well. If you look at that game the other night, I mean, he made some incredible plays, moving around, keeping plays alive, and then throwing the ball on the money. I mean, a great catch down the field on that fourth down play to kind of get him.
Can you get that put into your offense?
Yeah, but... But I think he has, you know, a huge upside. He takes care of the football, which is very important in this day and age. So I think he's got a great opportunity to be a real good player in this league.
By the way, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winner Matt Leinart, 2005 vacant, 2006 Troy Smith of Ohio State. How's that stadium, by the way? Greg Jennings said that the
lights are a little funky.
Yeah, he said
when you
the
walk
lights.
In, they're a little bit weird. It's just something that kind of catches you as you're warming up. You realize there's a little bit, the lights are a little more amplified. And it might not be that, but the positioning of them is a little different because Greg and Jordy both mentioned having issues with the lights.
There was the pass that that Jennings caught. He was specifically talking about the one, the fingertip one. And he said that was one where the lights were an issue. Were you pretty confident that was going to remain a touchdown?
when I saw it, I was excited when I threw the ball up. I kind of didn't see the end of the play. So I was kind of fist pumping. And then I looked at the replay and was like, oh, they're not giving us that one. But as you watch it, I don't think the ball moves for those three steps.
I agree.
So.
And it's not the Calvin Johnson rule.
No, because
he wasn't
going
to
the ground.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't watch First Take anymore, and I would like to state for the record, even though I like you, it's not because of you. I don't like two people yelling at each other in a debate. And because I don't watch it, apparently Eric Mangini did a very interesting breakdown of your interception that you threw. And he said that basically the reason why you threw that interception is because the guy who intercepted it didn't know the defense and wasn't supposed to be there. Is that an accurate explanation for what happened there, that you're expecting him to be where he's supposed to be, and because he's not, that leads to the interception? Is Mangini right about that?
Surprisingly, yes. Partially.
All right, fill us in.
They're playing Tampa too, which means the Mike has the middle of the field. It's really like a three deep defense, but with the two safeties having a deep third to the sidelines and the middle third being covered by the middle linebacker. We call it Tampa 2 or double zone or 2 Mike, whatever, you know, different people call it. But when I came up, my first look was to the B line, which was Randall running kind of like a post route. He was a little bit flat on the route, but I figured that the Mike, who I really couldn't see out of my peripheral, was deep with him, and threw it to a spot for Greg. Right when I threw it, I saw a flash in the middle linebacker flying over there to pick that ball off, and disappointing thing. You know, it's one of those things where 9 times out of 10 I take that play. That play comes in, I'm in the gun, and that doesn't happen. You know, I probably dump it off to Jermichael or move and hit the check down. For some reason, I was under center on that play. Maybe the fact that we were on the 9 or 10 yard line, or that I just wanted to maybe give a better fake, and you know, just through one of the deadly quarterback sins. It was a semi-blind throw, which is something you just don't want to do.
Are you as shocked when you throw an interception as those of us watching are?
Well, I appreciate that people are shocked when I throw an interception. I mean, I'm
not the first
shocked
person
is,
to say that.
Shocked is not really a, you know, kind of the adjective that or the verb that that comes to mind. I think disappointed is the first. Frustrated, disappointed,
ticked.
Yeah, Yeah, that's about as much as I want to say on that issue there.
Well, let's go inside the helmet. And what I thought might be fun to do, and you kind of started with what you were thinking on the sideline, is take us through the game-winning drive. You talked about Randall taking a knee, which apparently the coaches had told him to do to conserve time for you. So it's first and 10 at your own 20-yard line. There's 58 seconds left. You've got one timeout left, right? Because you had used
one timeout
two earlier in half. You're jogging onto the field. Take us from there.
Well, the fun thing is that you don't have a whole lot of time to think about it. I think that's the thing they kind of added to taking a lot of the pressure off of the scenario. We took a knee. It wasn't a TV timeout, so we're rolling. As I was going on the field, Mike gave me the play and ran out there. And when you get a play, you're kind of thinking about the play itself, a possible adjustment if you see a defense that's not favorable to that play, and kind of you go through your mind on how they've been playing you and those kind of sets, and that all hits you real quickly. So there's not a whole lot of time to say a lot in the huddle. You just kind of get in there, all right, let's take this thing down, let's get it done. Here's the play. Go out there. The crowd's loud, obviously. Made a subtle adjustment to the play and was going to work JerMichael. He had the young rookie linebacker on him who had been covering him pretty well, but JerMichael was able to get off him, had just enough space, had a very clean throwing lane, made a throw where I wanted to. He made the catch, was able to get down the sidelines. So we had first and 10 on the 44 with, I believe, 51 seconds or something like that. And
yes, 51.
And had a play come in that was a play for zone, considering they probably, you know, okay, got burned on the man. You probably come back with the zone defense. They decided to play man again, you know, made a subtle adjustment. And when you make an adjustment to a man beater, then you start thinking about, you know, kind of what matchup you like. And I liked a couple of the matchups, but my last look would be Jordy on Will if I didn't like the matchups inside.
So that's an adjustment for everyone, right? Because I think for those of us not cued in, we're thinking that's just an adjustment for you and Jordy.
No, adjustment for all the guys to the strong side of the play. And was able to go through my progressions quickly, thinking I probably was going to have Jordy. And fortunately, I got the ball off just in time before Justin Tuck was able to get in there and get a shot on me. As I threw it and was kind of hit and turned, felt good about where the ball was at, was able to get my eyes back to it, saw Jordy catch it inbounds, and knew at that point we'd taken a ton of the pressure off of that drive, gotten the momentum back, had the ball in their territory and field goal range, because Mike had said right before we went out, hey, 40-yard line is a cutoff, meaning that a 58-yarder was the deepest that Mason had felt good about in warm-ups for a kick.
That's a long game.
Which, but within, you know, in itself, takes some pressure off too, knowing that, okay, we got a kicker with a big-time leg. We just got to get it to their 40. So we're talking 40 yards, 58 seconds, one timeout. Let's do it. You know, that's doable. Once we got it, I think, to the 31-yard line, I believe, maybe the 30 with those two passes, then it was about making sure that we didn't do anything real stupid, we're able to waste enough of this clock to give Mason an opportunity to finish on the last play of the game. So the first and 10 play from there, they got a good brush, so I had to dump it off to Brandon in the flat. And then it was kind of a situation where that was the best thing that could have happened. If we throw in a completion, then they might be able to come back with some sort of blitz, because they like to do some empty pressure late in the game, clutch times in the game, crunch time. But because we had a completion, we're on the ball, they made a zone check. So they were playing just cover two behind it. We ran just a little base play, was able to hit Greg right where I wanted to. He ran a little out route, and I put it on his inside so he could kind of turn up the field as he was going. And he made a nice spin move off the safety, held onto the football, and as he was going down, it was about 11 seconds on the clock. I think we're on the 12. I knew we were inside of 15. And Mike on the headset said, hey, you got the clock. And I knew I was going to just use that timeout with 3 seconds left. And it's a really rewarding feeling there at the end of the game as you're jogging off the field with 3 seconds left. knowing that, you put yourself in a position, your team in a position to win, and knowing you gave your kicker a nice little chip shot. And it's kind of funny going through your mind, you're looking for the kicker. Like, but at the same time, it's kind of like a pitcher when he's having a real good game. You don't really talk to him.
Right.
I was like, okay, do I go and slap Mason 5 or do I just leave him alone and let him get in his zone? Because I don't know what it's like to kick a game-winning field goal, but I'm sure it's a little nerve-wracking. So ran off the field, did some high fives, and actually was looking for my stocking cap. I couldn't find it. I wanted to put that on just in case, you know, that was the last play of the game because I like to wear that at the end of the game. But anyway, by the time I couldn't find it and I was kind of looking around, I knew, okay, we're lying for the field. I better go watch this, see if he makes it. And he got a good boot on it. And once he cleared the line, I figured he would make it. So he got over those front guys, and celebration ensued.
You know, we talked about your late drives. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities to kick game winners. He had in his very first game in 07.
Philadelphia.
And then in 08 he had two, one in Minnesota and then the one that was blocked in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then he had the one that hit the upright in Washington, which I don't know if you were...
That was a long one.
Were you... Did you still have your faculties at that point? Wasn't that after you'd gotten your concussion in that game?
Yeah, maybe.
So that was... He hadn't had a lot of opportunities, so maybe you need to discuss if there's going to be another one, whether you can give him five or not as he's coming.
I think we're going to leave it the way we left it.
Yeah,
just kind of leave
well.
Him alone, okay. Let him do his thing.
One last thing about the Giants. You mentioned getting some pressure. Perry Fuel, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, did say they were going to, quote, get after your ass before the game.
Do we need to censor that?
I don't know. I don't know what the FCC rules are on that, but
yeah.
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything special about when a coach makes a comment like that, being able to kind of stick it back to him?
Not really.
Or that kind of stuff, or what?
Yeah, you got to kind of laugh at it, I think, because you have to remember, although coaches have an impact on the game as far as preparation and what calls they make, they're not playing. So I think it doesn't do a whole lot when a coach is going to come out and make a statement. I don't think that was a very strong statement or trying to intimidate myself or our team. He was just probably, you know, trying to inspire his guys.
Right.
Which I appreciate that, and I don't have a problem with that. But I think it's kind of funny because he's not going to play in the game. So it's not like I can, you know, get after him or something. It's,
right.
You know, have one of my linemen, you know, try and block him really good or something. It's kind of silly.
It was just unusual for a coach. That doesn't happen very often anymore. I've never heard Dom.
Well, it happens in New York a lot.
Well, I suppose. A little different dynamic.
Though. Other coaches.
Yeah.
Coach in New York.
I know who you're referring to. Very different than the guy you work for. Let's look ahead to Oakland this weekend. The Raiders, I thought, were a very good team. And then I think last week people are kind of like, what the heck happened to them in Miami? What does your film study show you so far?
Well, Miami is a lot better, I think, right now in the season than their record shows. They're 4-8, but I believe, have they won 4 of 5?
4 of 5.
Yeah.
Correct.
They're playing a lot better football now. Matt Moore is doing a real good job taking care of the football. He's playing well. Reggie Bush has been getting going as the feature back. I think their defense is playing better. So their record is definitely deceiving. The Raiders, they have a lot of team speed. They have a lot of names you're going to be familiar with when you look at their roster. They've just been, I think, a little bit inconsistent at times this season. So, you know, it was a long trip for them when you're going from the West Coast to the East Coast. That's a difficult flight and trip and game, and then you're playing a team that's playing well. So, you know, I'm sure that they'll regroup knowing that they're tied for first right now. And, you know, with 4 games left in the season, the urgency has to pick up. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the season. So we expect them to play a good game. Like I said, they got a number of names you're going to recognize on their defense. They like to play some man. They mix it up. They bring some pressure. It's going to be a good test for us.
You think Charles really wants to play in this one? He's going through the concussion protocols right now.
Well, I think so. I mean, anytime you've played for a team before, I'm sure it'd be fun to play against them. I don't think there's any ill will. I mean, it wasn't like they traded him or kicked him out of town. Right. He played his contract out. He moved on. He might not have been happy about getting franchised, but, yeah, we played him in 2007, and, you know, so I'm sure a lot of those feelings probably got out. He's a different guy now than he was in 07. So, actually just saw him in the locker room playing with his son.
And you said, hi, Chuck.
No, I didn't. Not at all. But he's doing well, and hopefully he'll be out on the field.
Let's get to the Ask Aaron questions. If you want to submit one, you can do so by using the hashtag Ask Aaron on Twitter. Just a phenomenal group of questions again, but I guess you'll be the judge of it, whether they actually are, in fact, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with Alex, who asks about one of the drops that happened in the game. In a situation like the Crabtree drop, do you look at it as something that you didn't put the ball quite where you wanted
yeah.
to put
that
it?
That was a bad throw.
So you don't hold that against Tommy?
No. No. You know what? Anytime you're throwing the ball to tight ends or backs, generally, you get used to and you train yourself to put it in a small window because you want to make it easy on those guys. Because anything that they got to stretch out or jump for is just putting them in a compromising situation. I got exactly what I wanted that play. I made the kind of fake I wanted. I had Tom down the middle, and I just rushed the throw a little bit. I rushed it. It was a low one, and that was entirely on me.
For the record, he's taken all the blame on Twitter when that question came across. This one comes from Chad. Which Jeopardy category, besides football, do you most excel at?
Two, I would say. Any type of geography question, very good at. And Kevin hates to hear this because we watch it just about every day, but because he went to seminary for a year, but I stomp him at the Bible questions. Anything having to do with the Bible, I've been getting after him real good. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for those Sunday schools.
Oh, poor Kevin. The next one comes from Amanda. What were your thoughts on the LSU fans chanting, "We want Green Bay," at the end of the SEC championship game?
Didn't hear it.
Okay. You ever, when you were in college, did you ever think the things that some college kids think that they could take on, that team is so good they could take on an NFL team?
No, I don't think so.
You realize that all these guys that are playing in the NFL were like studs on those college team.
I think sometimes you forget that. And when you play at every level, you realize, you know, most of the guys on your junior college team were the best players at their high school. You know, when you go to Division I, it was every best player you played against at junior college. And when you play in the NFL, all your guys were either the best player at their school, especially if they're a small school guy, the second best player, or the third best player on their team. So.
This one comes from Daniel. I don't know if this is a reference to something that was visible in the game on TV. He said, did you make a bet with Justin Tuck on the second challenge by the Giants? Were you guys, you and Tuck, talking on the...
No, I did make one against... Who was that against? Minnesota, I think it was. Me and Jared had a gentleman's bet about the challenge, which actually it was the Woodson interception, which actually I lost. So
what's the just a friendly wager, or do you owe him something now?
Well, it's not money, but I owe him something.
This one comes from Danny. How do you feel about now every single team doing the belt when they sack you?
I didn't see it until I watched the film and I saw Tollefson doing that. I mean, I don't, you know, it's funny. I think imitation is the highest form of flattery, I heard once. So I think you got to laugh at it. I don't take myself too seriously when I do it. So I laugh when other people do it. Even if they're trying to disrespect me and the fact that I do it, it doesn't work. So keep doing it if you want to do it. If you sack me or whatever, that's fine. I don't really care too much.
This one comes from Bart. It's a little more serious of a question. What does Corliss's injury mean for you guys in terms of pass protection? He only has three receptions, but they did seem to be using him a lot as kind of the extra guy that they'd keep in, or they'd motion him into the backfield and such.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew is a talented guy. He might not have the the receiving stats that he wants, but he helps us out in other ways. Obviously, in the special team, he's become a very good blocker at the point of attack. It just means, you know, hopefully, I'm saying this, hopefully, that Ryan Taylor will get some action. I think he's been impressing on the look team, on the first team. He's an excellent special teams player. I think it's about time he got a chance to play.
So, how about this one from Jeff? We talked about the interception. How do you act after an interception? Do you need to be left alone? Do you want to talk about it? Do you move on immediately? It doesn't happen very often, so how do you do
it? Yeah, I mean, you're frustrated by it. Tom's great. That's why I love Tom, because Tom Clements is the best game day coach. You know, I've had coaches before that jump your butt and want to get up in your face about it or talk down to you. You're mad enough about it. You don't need somebody getting in your face about it. It's frustrating. You just you go through the pictures like you do on the sidelines. You're frustrated. You get some thoughts out, and you move on.
A couple more. This one's from Bill. We've reached the time of holiday TV specials. Rudolph, Frosty, the Grinch, Peanuts. What you got?
Two favorites. And one of them actually was on the other night, which I like to watch on Christmas, but It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And my favorite Christmas movie is White Christmas.
Really?
I love it.
That's a good one. Yep. I'm impressed. This one comes from Shane. I know you like to keep your private life private, but do you have a real or a fake Christmas tree?
I don't have one yet.
Do you put one up every year?
I do. Real one.
Okay. And finally, from Emily, how did you celebrate your birthday?
Just a small little gathering of friends at one of my teammates' house. Had some chives catered in, so got to have my Friday chives ritual. But just a normal day. Had practice, massage, little nap, and then a little celebration.
And what is your, since you're always, you seem to give chives a pop quite a bit. Back when you were doing the gatherings at your house, you had them. What do you get there? I feel like I asked you this once when Paula and I went there.
I usually get the ribeye. That's kind of my fallback. But the special is always incredible. Now, some restaurants, I feel like, I'm going to make a broad generalization here, but I feel like some restaurants, their specials are usually like what the leftover stuff that they're trying to get rid of, but not at Chives. Their fish will be the same day fish that they fly in, and that'll be the special of the day. He's dry aging his meat now. JR is over at Chives, so whatever the dry aged steak of the day is, it's excellent. And then the other favorite, which Kevin will get from time to time. I'm not sure if they make it for guys entirely, but it's the butternut squash ravioli, which is excellent, supposedly.
You sound like a guy from like the Food Network. Are you a foodie?
I like watching Man vs. Food. Okay. I'm not a big cook. One of my favorite one of my favorite birthday presents I got was a waffle maker, because as I told you off the air, two things I think a man should be able to do is barbecue and cook breakfast. So I think I got the barbecue down pretty good. I'm trying to get the breakfast down a little bit better.
You've got your griddle now.
Yes, I do.
Well, we will talk more next week. We'll see if the Packers can improve to 13-0, if they can lock up a first-round playoff bye, which would then give them home field advantage at least in the divisional playoff round the following week. And we will break it all down here. We'll go inside the helmet. We'll take your questions, and we'll look back on that game and look ahead next week to the final road trip of the season as the Packers go to Kansas City. Thanks for tuning in. You have been listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show, Tuesdays with Aaron.